News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. A mild, sunny Tuesday morning in Mobile and Mobile Mornings, and a little touch of fog in some spots, so you just want to be careful on your way out of town or wherever you're going to work.
Yeah, the dense fog advisory lifted at 8, but you still might have some kind of hanging out there, so be careful with that. Also, we'll turn up your voice this hour, 251-343-0106, anything you want to get into on the text line, or you can give us a call later, 251-343-0106. But right now, it's time to talk with Quinn Hillier. You'll find his work at thewashingtonexaminer.com, also quinnhillier.com, and used to be the Mad Jones Trilogy. It's all now been combined into one easy-to-access book at Amazon. Quinn Hillier joins us this morning. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
And let's do that first, actually, before I forget. The Mad Jones used to be the Trilogy, and we talked about this quite a bit for a few years, but with Christmas coming up, still some time to pick that up and put it beneath the tree, right?
Well, thank you. It is now The Accidental Prophet. The three books have been recombined into one the way they were originally written, and it's available on Amazon, and it's actually, even though it takes place in 1999, it's pretty timely in that it's a satire on modern media, politics, and religion, all three of which I think these days might need some serious satirization.
real quick, what is the process like, Quinn? It's so different than writing an opinion column on policies or people. Creating the characters and all that, that's a fascinating process.
It is, and I think every writer does it differently. For me, I had to be pretty disciplined because I went part-time for a year and a quarter at the newspaper back then. And I had to spend 2 days a week really, really focused, getting up and setting aside the time and actually setting myself a number of words I had to write each of those couple of days. And, you know, I would go to different places so I wouldn't get stuck in the same rut. Mm. And you just have to concentrate.
Concentrate and discipline.
Quinn, there's something I know you wanted to talk about locally, and we'll get into some national and some state political or local political news going forward. But I don't know if I ever told you. So when I moved into my home that I'm in now, I guess about 3 or 4 years ago.
The mansion.
The mansion, as Dan calls it. And I had a neighbor, and one day he came by my house and he said, "Hey, there's a couple of trees in your backyard, a couple of trees in my backyard that we need to have cut down. I'm thinking maybe we can get together and have them all cut down together." Turns out that man was the leader, John Robb, the leader of the Tree Commission here in Mobile. And I've been following Friends of Mobile Trees for some time now on Facebook. I know you've been kind of involved in that as well. And there's big discussion about, you know, putting trees in certain parts of the city, and some people don't want them to go there. Just kind of talk about what you wanted to discuss this morning regarding the trees.
Okay, and to be clear, John Robb is not head of the Tree Commission. He's head of the Friends of Mobile Trees,
right,
which is a outside group that wants to help finance trees for the city. A totally good idea. I've got to say, as a journalist, straightforward, I have a little bit of a bias in that for a brief moment, it looked like I was going to become treasurer of Friends of Mobile Trees, mainly because I just donated to them, and John Robb asked me, and I thought maybe I could help smooth the way between the or within the dispute that I'm about to tell you about. Mm-hmm. I ended up deciding not to become treasurer, and I'm. But just so listeners understand that you know that I do have a sort of a bias in favor of putting trees up.
Right.
Okay. I don't know why we have a tree commission. State law seems to require it, or maybe it's municipal code. I've sort of lost track. I don't understand why you have a tree commission, because you then have people that are not accountable to the electorate except vaguely through their appointees who are on the city council, who have so much else going on that, you know, that they don't get held accountable for what the tree commission does. Mm-hmm. We have volunteers on the tree commission who mean very well. There is a big problem with Mobile's tree commission in that they spent a couple of years where they didn't have they barely had enough people for a quorum, which meant a lot of times they couldn't even meet. The long and short of it is there's a big active dispute between the Friends of Mobile Trees, which has wanted to help, and the Mobile Tree Commission and maybe the administration, which for whatever reason doesn't seem to want to deal with Friends of Mobile Trees and their personality conflicts and all that. What the listeners need to understand, though, is that because of that, the Tree Commission has had for 3 years on its plate a project to plant trees in West Mobile, and it keeps saying it's going to do it, and it hasn't done it, or the city hasn't done it at the direction of the Tree Commission. And they're supposed to have their monthly meeting today, but they have not, at least as far as I can tell, posted agenda online. They haven't posted minutes for a long, long time. I'm just saying this because trees, our tree cover is one of the things that makes Mobile gorgeous and close to unique. And whatever is the problem out there, I don't want it to get nasty. I just want both sides to start talking to each other. Mainly, I just want I want the city to start planting trees where they need trees and to care for them better. And so I want people to start paying attention to this.
Yeah, and just kind of following this story from afar, it's odd that there does seem to be this it's almost like the Friends of Mobile Trees and the city government can't see eye to eye. And I wonder how much of that is
the Friends of the Trees, but they're not Friends of the Tree Commission, obviously.
Right. It seems to me like folks that make up Friends of Mobile Trees care more about whether the city, what trees they're putting up or taking down than the actual commission does. And that's a problem.
Well, I don't want to characterize it that way, but it can certainly look that way. What I know is that as of early summer, we were told that the public was told that these trees in West Mobile that have been on the plate couldn't be planted in the summer. They had to be planted, for the best planting season was November or December, and that they would finally have their act together and would do it then. Well, now we're midway through December. The trees haven't been planted. Supposed to have a meeting today, but they haven't posted an agenda. So what is going on? And again, these are volunteers on the Friends of Mobile Trees. They're good people, but there's some glitch in the ointment. And I want the city council and the mayor's office to start paying attention to this and try to get something off dead center.
And it seems trivial, but and the way you laid it out, it really kind of isn't. You think of how important trees are to our culture, how many roadways where you have, it's a tree tunnel,
like
a canopy of trees above you. You have all these beautiful live oaks. Heck, there was a huge, remember when Trump came back for that Christmas performance, I guess, after he won the 2016 election, they cut down that big Christmas tree. Someone ended up losing their job over that. That's
Colby
how
Cooper.
Important trees are to this community. So this is very interesting. And Quinn, hope you keep us up to date on whether they're able to see eye to eye here before long on what to do next. Let's
I just do want to say I want everybody, including the Friends of Mobile Trees, to act in a spirit of cooperation. I'm not trying to lay blame here as much as I'm just trying to say we've got to get this off.
Got it. Yeah.
Yesterday, Quinn, President-elect Trump, 70-minute Q&A, basically at Mar-a-Lago, as he took questions and razzed the press a little bit during that conference yesterday. Talked about a number of things, including vaccines with the RFK nomination. He talked to drones with everything going on in New Jersey, tariffs, cabinet nominees. And one of the things that the press, I'm sure, is interested in is Trump's battle against them. And we saw that over the weekend with the settlement that George Stephanopoulos and ABC agreed to.
That was big money. I mean,
$15 million and then another million for The presidential elect or presidential library or something.
Yeah,
like
and
that?
I guess ABC can sneeze that money away, I suppose. But to me, $15 million is significant.
Yeah, and then the news this morning that he has. Let's see, he's escalating his legal campaign against media outlets, suing renowned pollster J. Ann Seltzer, her polling firm, and the Des Moines Register, and its parent company Gannett. Remember that. Really outlier of a poll that Seltzer put out the week leading into the election, yeah, where she said it was very possible that Kamala Harris would win Iowa. That ended up not being the case. Trump has sued.
Which is not just absurd, but dangerous. I've been a press basher for close to 50 years now. I think the media, the national media especially, is really horribly biased and often unprofessional. So that's the backdrop to say, even with that, you've got to be really careful about legal action against the press and certainly against a pollster. When the President of the United States sues because he doesn't like a poll, and he does it in the context of putting forth an FBI director who says that he's going after the media with all the force of law, that is really, really getting close to violating. In fact, it is violating the First Amendment of the United States. And you should be worried because it means the government could go after y'all for something that you say if you happen to be a little sleepy on a Monday morning.
I can say stuff wide awake.
Exactly. I mean, look, you can like Trump all you want. You can say that you know, the poll was stupid. Anybody that understands polling understands that one out of every 20 polls is going to get it way wrong. That's what the polls themselves say statistically. This lady that did this poll has gotten it right more often than anybody for years and years and years. She's an honest lady, and just because she got a weird sample doesn't mean you sue her and sue her employer and the newspaper that employs her and brings them through the ringer. You can ruin lives that way, and especially if you're the President of the United States with all the power of the office, it's not just wrong, it is abusive, and it has to stop.
And it's interesting here, he is he's not alleging defamation. He's alleging that Seltzer and the companies violated Iowa's Consumer Fraud Act, which prohibits deception when advertising or selling merchandise. I mean, at the time, I felt like a lot of people kind of saw right through it. Quinn, do you think it was just a bad poll, or it seemed more to me like a Hail Mary from a liberal pollster who's trying to even the numbers there? Not that should result in a lawsuit, but...
It's absurd. She's got such a long record of doing things right, including when other pollsters got it wrong, and including when she was the only one that got it right in favor of Republicans. There's no hint of bias. There's no hint of any impropriety other than that her sample was just wrong this time. I've been involved with politics both on the inside and the outside for nearly 50 years, and every once in a while, you see a good pollster who, by the luck of the draw, gets a bad sample. If you have a pattern of it from a pollster, then you might have a case. Mm-hmm. In this case, you don't. But what he's trying to do is he's trying to intimidate people. He's trying to intimidate pollsters. He's trying to intimidate the press. And it's wrong and it's dangerous. And everybody needs to stop saying, oh, this is Trump, so it's okay because I support Trump. And instead look at the big picture, look at the long term, and say this is very dangerous for the system.
Yeah. She did resign, I think, retire right after the election.
After the election.
She was going to retire anyway after the election.
Yeah. 16-point miss on that. Oof.
Yeah, I think, and because she was often so right, that was part of the...
Why everyone
reacted that way. Quinn, we'll be back in just a moment. It's 8:21, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, and if you want to shoot us a text, 251-343-0106.
Thanks, Kane. 825 FM Talk 106.5. Back to our conversation with Quinn Hillier here in just a moment. This segment brought to you by Tobias and Comer Law, local personal injury law firm that's helped hundreds of people, thousands of people in our area for decades. They've been doing it from their office down on Dauphin Street. Local. They treat you like a friend there. They'll help guide you through your case from the time you first talk until it's over. I know this Christmas season, Tobias and Comer Law, they keep up with a lot of the folks they've seen come through those doors at their office and remain friendly with them for years and years and years. And when you're speaking with them about a case you have, they don't pass that responsibility on to some lawyer you've never met who may not even be from the area. No, they keep it local. And reminder, with all these holiday parties on the way, it is just too easy these days to call an Uber, call a Lyft, call a taxi. Do not drive drunk. It will change your life and could possibly change lives of those you don't even know, your family and friends. From car to boating accidents, defective products to workplace accidents and maritime injuries, Tobias and Comer Law has seen it all. They have a great website, tobiascomerlaw.com. And you can also call for a free consultation any time of the day. That number is 251-432-5001. Again, check them out, tobiascomerlaw.com.
Got a mayor's race coming up here in next year, I guess, Quint. What are your thoughts on what you're seeing so far?
Well, a lot of names being thrown out there. Very definite moves toward a race. Connie Hudson, county commissioner, switched basically all of her money from one account to another that she could then use. I think she's got like $250,000 head start, something like that, if she wants to run for mayor. Maybe I've got a zero wrong there. She's got a lot of money, campaign money. Stephen Nodine, trying to make a comeback, has put stuff up on Facebook saying Nodine from mayor, he still needs a pardon on expungement on both the state and federal levels. I do think he'll probably get it on the federal level.
And he has, Dershowitz and Mitch Landrieu helping him out with that now, right?
Well, no. There was a mistake to say the Mitch Landrieu thing. My understanding is he clearly has Alan Dershowitz helping him through the federal process of getting a pardon. I think that Mitch Landrieu thing was just sort of talk, and I don't know whether that's true or not.
Okay.
I do have to say, since Lanyap identified me as an advocate for Stephen Nodine, and I want to make it clear, I'm not advocating or opposing his political races. I've spent 12 years saying that his federal gun charge was unconstitutionally applied. And I still think that in several court cases since then, on similar cases, have certainly indicated that. And it's also absolutely clear beyond any reasonable doubt that he did not kill Angel Downs. That's what I've been advocating. I'll let the voters decide about his politics. He did a good job in his other jobs, but I'm not his advocate. On those two points. There are some other very interesting names being thrown out. Brian Campbell, former military man, now a business leader. He was included in a poll recently, making some noises, very impressive guy. There are other names. People have mentioned Ty Bullard. People have mentioned Gina Gregory, and so on. It's going to be probably six or seven big name candidates when the smoke clears.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see a quote unquote favorite of the Stimson administration, whether that'll be clear if a favorite comes out, like someone they would prefer to win that role, and whether he would actually endorse anyone or just kind of let this thing play out.
I would think Ty Bullard might be, because Joe Bullard has worked closely with Sandy Stimson for years. That would indicate to me that Ty Bullard would be that person.
Interesting.
Quinn, thanks a bunch, and we will talk again next week.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yes, sir.
8:30, FM Talk 106.5. Hey, I just started a new group. You want to join Friends of Mobile Coyotes? Hit me up on the text line. I'm going to get this thing going here. Why is everyone so upset over the Coyotes? I don't see it. 8:30, we'll turn to your voice on the way next.
Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:34. A lot to get to here. Yesterday, a lot of our 8 o'clock hour had to do with those drones over New Jersey. We'll touch on that a little bit here. And also, it's refreshing to have a president of the United States that speaks with the press, all of them, and him, for 70 minutes, 80 minutes, something like that.
After they announced a $100 billion investment from SoftBank, Japanese company, $100 billion investment over the next four years into the U.S. economy.
Yeah, from that bank and a Japanese bank to the United States, all the stuff's going to be done here. That's pretty. That's a things are looking up.
And Trump has this. I don't think it's rude to say little bitty old executive standing up there next to him at Mar-a-Lago making this big announcement, $100 billion over the next 4 years. And Trump, in front of all these people, goes, "How about you double that?" And the guy goes, I guess we could try. Trump's like, "You hear that? He's going to double it."
That's funny.
So then the SoftBank CEO goes, "This guy knows how to negotiate."
Yeah.
So, and then that led into the 70-minute long, I mean, straight-up Q&A. You've been playing clips this morning where he's taking questions and he's going, I mean, he's answering everything. He's like, this is how I feel about this. This is how I feel about that.
It's not even just, and, you know, look, I'm just calling balls and strikes here. It's not like, you know, I've got 20 MAGA T-shirts and hats at home.
I believe you have.
I'm like 19 now. It's refreshing to hear a president speak right off the cuff on a variety of issues, and you trust what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. He's not just up there.
I wouldn't say 100% trust.
I would say a good bit. And one of the examples is when he addressed, you know, I say things are looking up. In New Jersey, they're looking up because of the drones.
Yeah, people are tired of looking up. They have that, you know, when I was a kid, they had...
the old sore neck?
Yeah, Walmart. We would go to Walmart shop up there in Clark County. We'd either go to Jackson or Thomasville Walmart, equidistant from our home. But they always had the video games there that you could play, like the, you know, trials. And we would just sit back there the entire times our parents would shop and just play those games. But you're looking straight up, so you'd get a crick in your neck.
Yeah, by the end of the year.
After about 20 minutes, your neck is, like, just really sore. And you know that there's thousands of people in New Jersey with that right now.
Sore necks, right. And so this is Trump talking about the drones. Listen to what he says. And it's very different than it seems that we've heard anybody else say.
Mm-hmm.
And like Dalton pointed out, too, it's almost a soothing thing because, just listen.
Our military knows where they took off from. If it's a garage, they can go right into that garage. They know where it came from and where it went. And for some reason, they don't want to comment. And I think they'd be better off saying what it is. Our military knows and our president knows. And for some reason, they want to keep people in suspense. I can't imagine it's the enemy, because if it was the enemy, they'd blast it out. Even if they were late, they'd blast it.
So this leads to this question.
Have you received an intelligence briefing on the drones?
I don't want to comment on that.
So you get the impression, obviously, he knows what it is. It's the incoming president. Of course, he knows. And I guess he doesn't feel it's his place to
reveal.
And at the same time, he's kind of saying, look, they know.
Mm-hmm.
They know where they come from, and he gives you the impression it's not a big threat. It's not a big deal.
And, you know, I think most likely, and we'll get into I've had several people this morning on the text line text the Joe Rogan. I guess you could call it a take. There was a drone manufacturer, I think in Kansas or Missouri, who had his take. We'll get into that and what Rogan had to say about that. But I think most likely, doesn't mean that it's 100% this, doesn't mean that I know what in the hell is going on.
Yeah.
But from our kind of diving into this, it does seem most likely that this is some kind of classified Department of Defense program using new drones. The ones that we were talking about yesterday can either be flown in quadcopter mode, which seems to be what a lot of the sightings are, and they were about the size that people are saying they're seeing in the sky, or these same drones can be used as more of like a plane drone, like they extend the wings and looks more like. So I think that is most likely, but I think what's clear at this point is that the feds, a lot of Democrats, certainly some Republicans, are using this to go after drone regulations.
Mm-hmm.
They say, hey, look, America's completely freaked out about this. We want to be able to control who's allowed to fly what in our skies. And there is a renewal coming up either before the end of the year or before Trump takes office that has to do with drone regulations and the FAA. And I think they're using this to try to push their narrative that, hey, these things are really dangerous and can't just let anyone fly these things around. That's clear when you hear Klobuchar speak and John Kirby, Mayorkas, they all seem to be pointed at that same thing.
Well, the other thing that gets me is that Trump obviously knows, they all know, and yet the governor of New Jersey, talking to his citizens like they're third graders. So consider the fact that he knows where these drones come from.
And this is the same governor who hasn't been showing up at the state, you know, meetings on this.
Exactly.
Where people are asking questions about what's going on.
You've got 150 mayors in one convention. The FBI's not there, and the governor's not there. And here's what he says.
Understandably, there's a lot of anxiety out there. I get that. I completely get that. But I want folks to know we are on it. We're on it 24/7.
We're on it. He already knows what the answer is. And he's talking like...
Or he doesn't, and he's acting like he does. I don't know. He should know.
He's the governor of New Jersey. Certainly they would let him in on it. Or to say... I'm frustrated because they're not telling me. They're talking among each other, but they're not telling me, the governor of the state, and I'm mad about it. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, what I'm saying is, as far as Trump, it was nice to see a man take all those questions and walk away thinking, I can pretty much believe what he had. What he said is what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
You got the governor of New Jersey, a big event in his state right now. It's a big story.
Yeah.
And he's BSing me, you, everybody that lives in Newark.
He's telling them all it's above their pay grade.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we're dedicated. We are working this out 24/7. It's kind of stupid.
And we haven't, correct me if I'm wrong, Biden hasn't said a word, right, about the drones. I don't even know if he knows what's going on at all.
He hasn't said a word about anything.
John Kirby has been the man basically speaking up on behalf of the Biden administration. And yesterday he blamed the new FAA rules that allow drones to be flown at nighttime. He also said, which I believe, that there are a lot of things in the sky, especially over New Jersey, that are just regular everyday travelers going one place to another. And a lot of folks are probably like, oh, I'm hearing about all these drones. That must also be one, and that one, too, and that one. But John Kirby had this to say yesterday.
We have no evidence at this time that the reported drone sightings pose a national security or a public safety threat or have a foreign nexus.
So that's where we stand right now. And as far as the Joe Rogan thing, and when I was talking about this yesterday, I think we basically left the show saying most likely it's one of these two things. It's the Department of it's our own military, right? And they're either doing classified exercises to test out drones, or and something that Rogan kind of popularized over the weekend when he shared a video from John Ferguson, who is CEO of a remote aircraft system company in Kansas. And it was a long video, but he basically said it's possible the drones are attempting to either smell or to, quote, smell either a gas leak, radioactive material, or something else on the ground. So that's also, and that is probably to me, obviously, the most frightening possibility. Okay. Now they've said it's not a foreign adversary who's flying the drones, but are we flying those drones because of the possible actions of a foreign adversary on the ground or something that they have planned? Ferguson, in that clip, said the only reason why you would ever fly an unmanned aircraft at night is if you're looking for something. Now, he did say he doesn't think the drones are nefarious. He said, so my belief is they're trying to smell something on the ground, gas leaks, radioactive material, whatever. He added, the theory was his best guess based on his expertise and just his opinion. He said, I've not bounced this off anybody. He said, so if you think it's BS, whatever, that's cool. I don't want to spread misinformation. As we know that there's a lot of that going around. Rogan shared that video. He said, this is the first video about these drones that has me genuinely concerned. So I'm hoping that it's just a military exercise to try these new drones. They said, what was the USNS Eisenhower that they have off the coast there of Jersey that was part of when they, a year ago, and I read through that report yesterday, there was a deal made to make this basically a drone corridor for them to test new age drones. And I think it was between that massive airbase there in Jersey,
down by the by Atlantic City, down in the southeast of it,
and
Fort Dix is in the middle of the state,
right? And then so that seems to be the theory that makes most sense. I would be worried if it's what this guy's theory is, that they are up there for reasons regarding national security, and that there's something on the ground that they're trying to find. But would love your take. I know all of you have been following this. Maybe not as closely as others, but would love to know what you think those drones are now that we've had a good week to talk about them. excuse me. CB says, good morning, guys. How do I put something on the locals only Christmas list? Shoot an email to Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. You can also send one to me, D-A-L-T-O-N, Dalton, at fmtalk1065.com. Ben texts, Drones Over New Jersey is a Broadway play, isn't it? I was singing it to the tune of Randy Travis's Digging Up Bones, shooting down drones. But speaking of Broadway, you saw KBJ, Ketanji Brown Jackson, the Supreme
Broadway
Court Justice. Broadway debut.
Juliet and No Romeo or something like that.
It is a queer reimagining of William Shakespeare's classic Romeo and Juliet.
Well, I've been waiting on that for all my life.
I've said, honestly, since the first time I heard about Romeo and Juliet, I said, but where's the queer reimagining of this?
There it is.
And finally, here it is, and I didn't even know it was out. But the Supreme Court Justice, she acted in that, and they said her character, Queen Mab, described as a she-her character. And this is basically a reimagining if Juliet found Romeo lying dead there, a passionate death over his love for Juliet, and this is a reimagining if Juliet left him there, didn't follow through with her side of things.
Just picked up the pieces and went on with her life.
Yeah, and then picked up, which is not the way Shakespeare wrote it, by the way.
No.
So you have a Supreme Court justice doing that. That reminded me of a tweet, and I saw it. So during this last Supreme Court term, they were going through arguments, and there was a New York Times or a Wall Street Journal graphic that they made. Remarks by new Supreme Court justices. Words spoken by each justice in their first eight arguments. So they took all of the current Supreme Court justices and the first eight arguments that they had on the court. And Clarence Thomas, for instance, in his first eight arguments as a Supreme Court justice, he spoke 96 words. Ketanji Brown Jackson, her first eight arguments, spoke 11,003 words.
Wow.
So she's very much a vocal justice. Her 11,000 words spoken in her first eight arguments. Second to that is Amy Coney Barrett, who spoke just over 4,000 words in her first eight. So you got a talker there.
She's the all-time champ.
Yeah, and she clearly likes to perform. And I'll be checking out Anne Juliet, never.
quickly, before we get to the break, we go to the phone lines talking about drones. What's up?
Hey, fellas. I had an opinion. Perhaps they're getting ready to do the presidential inauguration activity where they, like they did in France with all the fancy drones and USA or something like that. Yeah. Everybody's out there practicing their moves,
It's like a marching band trying to form the form the letters up there. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, exactly, or something. Well, that's my joke side of it. But,
yeah, that's good.
Is it possible that we can tell, us the government, USA, can tell these little gizmos how big they are? And I imagine all of them have to have some kind of transponder or something that's identifying themselves as a device, that's flying.
Yes.
Can't we track it that way and kind of determine who owns it? I imagine everything has to be tied into purchasing and manufacturer and all that kind of stuff. What do you think?
Thanks for the call.
Like tracking back a gun that has a serial number on it.
It's almost like what Trump said. Trump said they can
He said they can look into the garage they fly out of.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is totally believable, actually.
Easily tracked is the word. So
he might have given away a few national security secrets while trying to explain away the big national security secret there.
Well,
but speaking of those drone shows, they're all fun and games. I really do think when you see China and us and other countries do that, that is a show of military force.
Yeah, you're right.
When China is able to send up tens of thousands of drones and have them act in concert, that's a little frightening once you think about how it might be used in warfare.
Yeah, it's frightening. It's the AI dogs. Have you seen some of the videos of
Yeah, walking around Mar-a-Lago. They had him keeping Trump secure for some time.
Did they really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is 8:50, Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings. You know, sometimes you see journalism and then you see excellence in journalism. We'll get around to that. Clarissa Ward in her little, I'm in a combat zone helmet. I like when she wears that helmet.
Yeah, it means she's getting down to business.
Yeah.
It means it's serious out there.
Yeah, but anyway, we're trying to make fun of people. She has done that work for many, many years, but she will now forever be known for something that happened last week.
Yeah, Anderson Cooper would never. Fairhope Police Department letting us know just before 6 o'clock this morning, Fairhope officers responded to an alarm at Citizens Bank on Plantation Boulevard, only to discover that an ATM had been forcibly removed from the bank platform and its contents stolen.
Wow.
Good. It was forcibly removed, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to hear that.
They didn't just walk off. The FBI is on the scene. They'll take charge of the investigation. It's been a minute since we've seen an ATM ripped from a wall. That was happening fairly often just a couple years ago.
Yeah, and also, you know, FBI setting up shop to doing their thing in Fairhope. That Fairhope doesn't usually come under that kind of federal jurisdiction, I guess.
No, and they've been in Gulf Shores a lot lately, too, FBI has. So looking at the text line, Haywood says drones are searching for a Demogorgon. Sounds scary. Maybe I should know what a Demogorgon is. I hope maybe one of us should. I hope I didn't just cuss. Bill says, drones are a test. New delivery program of Santa's. You know, I was just telling the kids about this the other day. When you talk about AI replacing jobs, those reindeer.
Yeah.
Put them out to pasture. You don't need them anymore.
The big guy himself.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't even need to leave anymore.
No.
He just picks up all the cookies and has the drone bring them back for him. Jerry says, hell, it's New Jersey. All you have to do is get downwind and you can smell it. He's talking about, I guess, the things those drones may or may not be searching for up there.
There are some areas in New Jersey that are pretty toxic in nature.
Okay, Roy saying that is from Stranger Things. I need to watch Stranger Things at some point. I guess I'll get to that after Breaking Bad, which I still have not seen. Wayne says, good morning, guys. I believe the drones are trying to search out the terrorist cells that we know are here. I'm sure they have capabilities to detect nuclear material. The reason they may not be sharing with the American public is to keep down the possibility of widespread panic. Well, job not well done, by the way, on keeping down the widespread panic. He said, I hope I'm dead wrong, but that's just my gut feeling. Jason says, sounds like Dan's asking Santa for a MAGA hat. Is that what you were doing there?
I don't know. Disguising it in my conversation.
Captain Doug says, if it's a legal U.S. drone, it transmits a code signal that identifies its location as well as the operator's location. Ask Sean. He's a drone pilot. You know, maybe there's a reason Sean has been suspiciously silent on some of this. Maybe maybe he might be behind part of it. I don't know.
He hasn't really spoken on the drones.
I mean, he has talked about the drones, but he's not placed himself anywhere near the scene, which is kind of questionable right now.
He's got that family in Pennsylvania, just saying.
Just saying. So, you mentioned the Clarissa Ward boo-boo.
How long has she been? She's worked in war zones. That's
at least 20 years.
I would think. Okay.
20 years of reporting. And at the time, she thought she was getting this great human interest story, saving this man from a Syrian prison after the fall of Assad. She called it, at the time, one of the most extraordinary moments she's witnessed. And I guess you could still say the same thing.
Yeah.
Because this was a guy who completely lied to her and her production team. They found this man who gave his name as Adel Gerbal. And he claimed to have been arrested by government authorities 3 months earlier. They found him, I believe, in a jail cell hidden underneath a blanket. And so they're like, all right, we get this political prisoner. We get to film him leaving this prison. He was doing that thing where he looks in the sky like, oh, it's too bright. I haven't seen the sun in forever. Well, it turns out he was lying about who he was and that he was actually one of the most well-known torturers of the Assad regime.
A notorious torturer is who he really is.
Known as Abu Hamza. This man worked at several security checkpoints and was involved in theft, extortion, and coercing residents into becoming informants for Assad. So CNN gets him out of the cell, feed him, and send him on his way. So he's just out there somewhere. They find out he was actually lying, and he was one of the worst people in the Assad regime.
He wasn't Assad's carpet installer. You know, he was the son's
torturer.
Torturer.
Yeah.
And CNN creates this whole beautiful story with music added.
And the only reason he was in jail is because a fellow torturer didn't think he was sharing enough of the bribes with him.
859 FM Talk 106.5.